The movie Godzilla is back in theaters, although it is no longer the movie you might remember, the ultimate campy Japanese science fiction flick. The 1954 Godzilla had a serious side originally, and now American audiences can see that for the first time in uncut prints that have never been shown before in U.S. commercial theaters. David Darcy reports.
A nuclear test at sea sets a dinosaur on a rampage that leaves Tokyo in flames. The story was inspired in part by a real American nuclear test in 1954 that irradiated the crew of a Japanese fishing boat. The script makes references to nuclear bombs dropped on Japan less than 10 years earlier. Greg Flugfelder is a professor of Japanese history at Columbia University. He calls Godzilla the most important post-war film made in Japan and a daring critique of American global hegemony.
It's very clearly embedded a message that if they, America, and more broadly, we, the free world, continue down this path of destruction in developing nuclear weaponry, who knows what the result might be. And we as Japanese have a particular role to play within the free world as the one nation that has experienced nuclear destruction firsthand.
That's not the message American audiences got when Godzilla opened in theaters here in 1956. It's not that American distributors feared an anti-nuclear story. They wanted to exploit the monster movie mania sweeping the U.S. in the 1950s. Steve Reifel is the author of Japan's Favorite Monstar.
The two guys who acquired Godzilla for distribution in the United States were small-time producers of exploitation films in the 1950s. Up until Godzilla, their most popular and most successful film had the title Untamed Women.
They cut 40 minutes, dubbed what was left into English, and reshot scenes with an English-speaking hero, Raymond Burr, as an American journalist in Tokyo.
My name is Steve Martin. I'm a foreign correspondent for United World News. I was headed for an assignment in Cairo when I stopped off in Tokyo for a social call. But it turned out to be a visit to the living hell of another world.
Godzilla was reborn overnight as another movie, says author Steve Reifel.
What they did was ingenious. They found a way to basically turn it into an American picture. They rented a small soundstage in Los Angeles, hired Raymond Burr. His contract said that he would only work for one day, so they kept him there at the studio for 24 hours. They filmed on this small soundstage, indoor scenes, outdoor scenes, cut the original Japanese picture up and inserted Raymond Burr into it.
The original was made by the son of a monk. Ishiro Honda fought in World War II, was imprisoned by the Chinese, and recreated the Battle of Midway for Japanese movie audiences. Haruo Nakajima played a pilot in that movie. He created the role of Godzilla. Speaking from Tokyo through an interpreter, Nakajima said he had no idea how the monster should move, so he visited the Tokyo Zoo.
I saw various animals like monkeys, and also I watched the feet of an elephant, and also a bear to see how a monster would move.
Today, Nakajima's in his 70s. Director Ishiro Honda is dead, so is the screenwriter and the man who was in charge of special effects. Nakajima went on to make 12 Godzilla movies, yet today he's anonymous, even though his character's become a classic.
There is no impact on people when I walk the street. I do not consider myself as a star. I thought it was going to be just one or two films. I never imagined that the effect will last for 50 years.
But the Godzilla suits got threadbare, as Toho Studios turned out sequel after sequel aimed at children, says film historian Michael Barson.
It's in name only, as far as I'm concerned. The idea that Godzilla every 6 months has to go out and save the Earth again from alien invaders it's just funny, but I don't consider it that character from this 1954 original film is really the one we're talking about still.
To an audience now accustomed to digital effects, the handmade Godzilla seems quaint. But author Steve Reifel says Godzilla was never supposed to look real.
One of the things that Japanese monster movies and Japanese science fiction movies are routinely criticized for by non-fans is that they don't look real. And I don't know if the purpose, especially of the films from the 1960s, was necessarily to make something that looked real. I think the purpose was to make something that looked spectacular And if you approach it from that standpoint, I think they're very entertaining.
Later versions were less so. Godzilla flies, he talks, and he does kangaroo kicks. A 1985 Japanese remake hauled a rotund Raymond Burr out of retirement.
No. There has to be a more effective way. Troops, aircraft, rockets, they were all used before. All they'll do is confuse and antagonize him further. He's looking for something, searching. If only we could figure out what it is before it's too late.
Godzilla got away from the original intentions of its creator, Ishiro Honda, who himself directed some of those sequels. Author Steve Reifel says Honda regretted that.
Ishiro Honda traveled through the wreckage of Hiroshima after the war. He was deeply affected by that, and the movie itself is a representation of the physical scarring of the war. Honda, in particular, viewed the monster as a personification or a representation of the atomic bomb. Honda's hope for the film was that it would inspire people to rise up against the proliferation of nuclear weapons. And years later, in the early 90s, shortly before he died, he regretted that this film had not made more of an impact. After all these years, he said, you know, we haven't even reduced the number of nuclear weapons by one. And he was quite sad about that.
The late Ishiro Honda may finally get his wish. Today, Godzilla's drawing an audience that wasn't even born when the film was shot in 1954. For NPR News, I'm David Darcy in New York.